And the message today is titled, Something Greater Than Solomon Is Here. Something Greater Than Solomon Is Here. The text that we're going to read is found in Matthew chapter 12. And it says in verse 38, then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. He answered, A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now something greater than Solomon is here. In this passage, Jesus is revealing how great he is to his listeners. Why would Jesus want to do that? Why does he want to let people know how great he is? Is it arrogance? Is it pride? No, it's not. He's just revealing himself to people because they don't really know who he is. Jesus clearly is getting the impression that the people who are in his presence don't fully understand his true nature. And from the text that we're reading, it's clear that the people who he was speaking to did not recognize who he was. And the words he spoke were an attempt to reveal himself to them. And if you were here in the last month or so, you'd realize that in this very same chapter, Jesus makes three attempts to impress on the minds of his listeners just whose presence they were in. Remember, some time ago, we looked at the fact that Jesus declared in Matthew 12 that one greater than the temple is here. A few weeks ago, and we just read the passage, he said that one greater than Jonah is here. And now today, in the presence of his hearers, he is saying one greater than Solomon is here. And in order to fully grasp the magnitude of Solomon, we've got to go back into the Old Testament to see just how great Solomon was. And I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 4. You see, anytime you read something in the New Testament that you don't fully understand, it's always good to stop and get a proper context of what Jesus is speaking about. And in 1 Kings chapter 4, we're going to take a look at just how awesome Solomon was. In verse 29 of 1 Kings chapter 4, look at what it says about Solomon. God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the people of the East, and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than anyone else, including Ethan the Ezrahite, wiser than Heman, Calcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol, and his fame spread to all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs numbered 1,005. He spoke about plant life, from the cedar of Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of walls. He also spoke about animals and birds, reptiles and fish. From all nations, people came to listen to Solomon's wisdom, sent by all the kings of the world who had heard of his wisdom. This guy is pretty smart. When the Bible says that you have wisdom and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore, that means you're pretty smart. Now, of course, we don't know who some of these guys were that they mentioned, Ethan, Heman. We don't know who these guys are, but I guarantee you, Solomon was way smarter than Albert Einstein. Hello. You know, these days, smart people have to focus on a particular area of knowledge in order to be really, really smart, right? Think about how smart Solomon was. He was a singer. He wrote songs. He spoke about plant life. He was a biologist, if you will. He spoke about animals and birds and reptiles and fish. And the Bible says that he was so smart that his fame spread throughout all the nations. Kings would send emissaries and say, you need to go and visit Solomon because this guy is super smart. That's how amazing Solomon was. Now, I know we have some smart people in the auditorium right now. I know we have people with highfalutin degrees, and you can recite your 17 times table, and you can do your math in your head. You don't even need a calculator. I know we got some really smart people here. But is there anyone here that can match what we just read about Solomon? Is there anyone here that thinks that they are just as smart as Solomon? Desmond, you think you want to take a stab at it, bro? No. You see, even amongst all these highfalutin smart people, nobody will say, you know what? Put my name in there. This is how smart Solomon was. Pretty cool. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 10. And what we're going to do right now is, remember Jesus was speaking about the queen of the south, right? What he's talking about is in 1 Kings chapter 10, he's speaking about the queen of Sheba. And the queen of Sheba was an Ethiopian queen. And what he's referring to in Matthew 12, we're going to read right now. And here's what happened when the queen of Sheba heard about Solomon. It says in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 1, it says, when the queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon and his relationship to the Lord, She came to test Solomon with hard questions. Arriving at Jerusalem with a very great caravan, with camels carrying spices, large quantities of gold and precious stones, she came to Solomon and talked with him about all that she had on her mind. Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was too hard for the king to explain to her. When the queen of Sheba saw all the wisdom of Solomon and the palace he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his officials, the attending servants in their robes, his cupbearers, and the burnt offerings he made at the temple of the Lord, she was overwhelmed. She said to the king, "The report I heard in my own country about your achievements and your wisdom is true. But I did not believe these things until I came and saw with my own eyes. Indeed, not even half was told me. In wisdom and wealth, you have far exceeded the report I heard. How happy your people must be! How happy your officials who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Praise be to the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and has placed you on the throne of Israel. Because of the Lord's eternal love for Israel, he has made you king to maintain justice and righteousness." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, large quantities of spices and precious stones. Never again were so many spices brought in as those the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Isn't this incredible? This is the account that Jesus was probably referring to in his mind when he spoke about the Queen of Sheba. All of Israel knew that this happened, that this great queen with all her intelligence and pomp and circumstance, she heard about Solomon. And she heard about Solomon's relationship with God. And she said, "I have got to go and visit this man." And it's amazing, because she traveled a long distance to see him. The journey from Egypt to Israel took many months. And in those days, there was no Van Wyck Highway. It was difficult. Not only that, but she came with hard questions. She brought the best she had to Solomon, and he answered all of them. And it says, after sitting at Solomon's feet, it says, and after listening to his wisdom and just seeing the magnificence of Israel, it says that she was overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. And she praised Solomon. And she said, "Man, your people must be so happy because of the wisdom that you have." And to show her gratitude, this is what blows me away. To show her gratitude, just for the opportunity of being in his presence, she says, "I'm going to give you 120 talents of gold." As if Solomon needed it. She was so blown away. She says, I've never heard. I've never seen anything like this. Here, I'm going to give you a large deposit of gold just because you are so awesome. It wasn't like Solomon charged her per hour. He was just talking to her. Solomon was expecting nothing from her. And she gave him a hefty offering of gold, large quantities of spices, and precious stones. Never again, the scripture says, never again were so many spices brought in as those the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. He said, this Israel had reached its apex of power under Solomon's reign. There was no nation as powerful as Israel. So when Jesus is talking about the Queen of the South, he's referring to this episode. And so in order to fully understand the magnitude of what he's saying, you got to come back to 1 Kings chapter 10 and understand what was going on. And now we've got to go back to Matthew chapter 12. Now that we are armed with a right context, now we can take another look at what Jesus said. Jesus says in Matthew 12, verse 42, he says, the Queen of the South will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now something greater than Solomon is here. There are a few things I want to share with you this morning for your consideration. The first that we've got to not overlook is that there will be a judgment. As loving and as compassionate as Jesus is, as all forgiving and as merciful as Jesus is, he himself said that there will be a final judgment. And someone living in one generation will have the ability to condemn those who lived in another generation. Does that blow you away or what? Because the Queen of the South lived several centuries before his current audience. And what he's saying is, at the judgment, this woman who lived centuries before you did will stand and condemn you. Why? Because she traveled to the ends of the earth to hear Solomon. But one greater than Solomon is in your presence. See, now you start to see the intensity of what Jesus is talking about, don't you? Because this is a warning. This is a message of judgment that I think we all need to hear. The other thing I think is important is that there is an implication. It is strongly implied that the reason why the Queen of Sheba is going to condemn these people is because of their complacent attitude to the teachings of Jesus. Did you get that? They had a complacent attitude to the teachings of Jesus. It's not that they didn't hear his teachings. It's how they responded to it. They had a complacent attitude to the teachings of Jesus. Look at the effort the Queen of Sheba made to acquire knowledge from Solomon. She traveled by mule and by caravan several miles. The journey took several days, and they must have encountered several obstacles. And Solomon did no miracles. None. He didn't do any miracles. But yet she made this incredible journey to speak to him. In the 12th chapter of Matthew, Jesus is recorded to have performed two miracles in the 12th chapter. The first, he restored the deformed hand of a man. You can read it on your own. And the second, he gave a man who was blind and mute the ability to see and to speak. Two miracles are recorded in Matthew 12. Two. Solomon didn't do any of that. And yet the Queen of Sheba traveled over land and sea to meet with Solomon. And he's saying to his hearers, something greater than Solomon has come to you. The Pharisees and Sadducees and teachers of the law, they didn't have to travel anywhere. Jesus came to them with truth and divine knowledge from God. But yet they did not accept his teaching. They did not acknowledge his authority. And they had a complacent disposition towards Jesus. And Jesus is saying, a terrible judgment awaits those who refuse to obey his teachings. That's what he's saying. He's saying a judgment awaits those who refuse to acknowledge his teachings. The careful listener, at this point of the message, would ask themselves an important question. Is there a judgment that awaits me? That's a fair question, don't you think? Is there a judgment? If a judgment awaits the men and women who were listening to Jesus, is there a judgment awaiting me? How do you respond to the teachings of Jesus? How have you responded to his decrees and his insights? How would you compare your attitude towards Jesus with the Queen of Sheba's attitude towards Solomon? How would you compare? Let me help you out a little bit. Let's talk about your eagerness to acquire knowledge that comes from the lips of Jesus. I'm talking about your personal enthusiasm. Think about what the Queen of Sheba did. She traveled over 1,400 miles to sit at the feet of Solomon. And we sometimes fail to remember that we have the teachings of Jesus on our iPads. We can pack the teachings of Jesus in our backpack. But yet, we can't find the time of the day to read his word. Isn't that incredulous? That we who have the teachings of the Messiah right in our backpack, we just seem to be too busy sometimes to read. Is there a judgment awaiting you? How enthusiastic are you about learning more about Jesus? You know, I mean, we all know some things about Jesus. And that's fair. Everybody knows at least something about Jesus. But there's a lot more about Jesus for you to learn. There's a lot more about what he thinks is right doctrine or wrong doctrine. How eager are you to learn that? He speaks about personal righteousness in the inner being of our hearts. How eager are you to learn these teachings? Some of the most amazing teachings about purity and about marriage come from the lips of Jesus. Have you been adding to your knowledge enthusiastically? Some of us spend large amounts of money to go to conferences that teach us how to acquire wealth. We purchase airline tickets, book hotel rooms, and spend large quantities of money in the hope that at the conference you'll acquire some knowledge so that you can acquire wealth. Now, nothing is wrong with acquiring wealth. There's no sin in that. But here's the problem. The problem is when your enthusiasm to learn about wealth far exceeds your enthusiasm to acquire wealth from Jesus. That's the problem. Where you're more excited about monetary wealth than about spiritual wealth. What will the Queen of Sheba have to say about you at the judgment? See, these questions, they disturb me. They help me to be aware of my own heart and my enthusiasm. And I think this is what Jesus is trying to do with the men who were listening to him. He said, look at what the queen did in the presence of Solomon. And now one greater than Solomon is here. You know, a few weeks ago they had an event in Brooklyn. Phil Garrison had told us about it. And there was a brother called Jeff Arias who is a businessman. And they organized a sort of a small conference for people that wanted to get to know more about God and in relation to building a business. And at the hotel that they booked, they didn't know this, but at the hotel that they booked, there was another conference taking place. And the other conference taking place was two of the people who are in Shark Tank. They were having their conference about wealth building, okay? And apparently, outside the hotel, there were long lines to this other conference, the Shark Tank conference. And Phil told me that they were fighting in the lines because so eager were people to get inside this conference that they were beating each other up out on the streets. And there was a lot of fanfare, and there was disco music, and everybody was getting pumped up. And one of the ladies who intended to go to the Shark Tank conference mistakenly found herself in the conference that Phil and Jeff Arias were hosting. And while there was loud music in the other room, Jeff was opening up the Bible and talking about God. And the lady looked around and she said, I'm in the wrong place. This is not the conference that I signed up for and I paid my money for. But as she started hearing what Jeff was talking about from the scriptures, she actually said, you know, maybe I'm in the right place. And she stayed for the rest of the conference. Not only that, but she met with Phil and Jeff. And she's a radio personality. She's a Haitian lady. She has her own radio show. She spoke to Jeff and Phil and said, I'm having a radio show shortly. Can you guys come right now and speak about what you just said on my radio show? And they went straight away to her radio show. What? Do you see what I'm talking about? Because she realized, this is what I need. That's what I need. And not only that, but she wants all her radio listeners to hear what she just heard. one greater than Solomon is here. I admire the Queen of Sheba's tenacity. That, it was no easy journey, people, especially for a woman to make. I'm sure there were stops for food, for the bathroom. If you go on a long journey, you have to use a bathroom. I'm just saying. There were no Airbnbs. Where did she sleep? This was a difficult journey. You know, look, in the quest for spiritual knowledge, sometimes you hit obstacles. You hit challenges. There's difficulties. Sometimes you don't get it as quickly as you could. Sometimes you hit obstacles in your own personal character, and you gotta wait until you deal with issues in your character to acquire more knowledge. The acquisition of spiritual knowledge takes time. But yet, sometimes at the slightest difficulty, when we don't understand something from the Bible, at the slightest difficulty, we throw our hands up in the air. Oh, it's too hard. I'll be the first to tell you, spiritual teaching can be sometimes confusing. It's confusing. These people believe this, and those people believe that, and the Bible is saying that. It's just too confusing, and we throw our hands up in the air, and we walk off in protest. Do you do that in math? When you're trying to figure out those quadratic equations, huh? Do you go, forget this. Who needs a high school diploma? Do you do that? When they're trying to teach you long division, now who even uses long division? We have calculators, but they teach you these things. Do you go, it's too much? Is that what you do in your biology class? No, that's not what you do. You burn the midnight oil. You drink large quantities of coffee. You deprive yourself of sleep so that you can acquire this earthly knowledge, because you want that degree. You want that diploma. That's the price you're prepared to pay for earthly knowledge. One greater than Solomon is here. The Queen of Sheba paid the price to acquire that knowledge. You know, Jade Garcia is going to get baptized later on today. It took Jade 2 years. 2 years to get to this point. Go ask her. She was a preteen studying the Bible. She said yesterday, I've been waiting for this for 2 years. How many of you, if you encounter a challenge in the studies, after the first one go, this is too hard? My friends, the Queen of the South will rise at the judgment and have a thing or two to say about you. On Wednesday, one of the brothers, Darrell Owens, he inspired me last year. You know, he embarked on a journey to read the entire Bible. He told me last year, he said, Sean, you know, I've never read the entire Bible. I've never done it cover to cover. I said, bro, go for it. And man, that brother, he just started plugging away. And I'll be the first to tell you, reading the entire Bible cover to cover is not easy, especially when you get to books like Leviticus and all these genealogies. You're like, who are these people? Who are these people? Right, Keith? I mean, who are these people? And you can't pronounce their names, and you're like, what is the meaning of all of this? But you got to push through those feelings. And Daryl kept pushing through. And he kept texting brothers about his journey. And he persevered. And you know what? His quest for spiritual truth, you know what happened? It changed him. He's a different man. He shared at the midweek, he said, before I acquired all this knowledge, coming to midweek was optional for me. That's what he said. It was optional. Because I never really had a biblical foundation as to why I come to midweek. He said, now my whole perspective about coming to midweek is different. And he attributes it solely to the knowledge he acquired reading the Bible. When the Queen of Sheba heard of all of Solomon's wisdom, the Bible says she was overwhelmed. She's just like, wow, it's incredulous. When was the last time you were overwhelmed at the teachings and the life of the Messiah? When was the last time you were just reading something in your quiet time and you were just like, wow, I just can't believe Jesus said this or he did this. Can't believe his case. It's just overwhelming. And we get to call him a savior. You see, the Queen of Sheba was overwhelmed after she ate at Solomon's feet, not before. It took an investment on her part. It took effort on her part. It took time on her part. It took an inconvenience on her part. And if the Queen of the South will rise at the judgment and condemn the men in Jesus' presence, what will she say about you and your effort and your tenacity? What will the Queen of Sheba have to say about you? The Hebrew writer says that Jesus is greater than the prophets, that he is greater than the angels, that he is greater than Moses and greater than Joshua. In Hebrews 5, he declares Jesus to be greater than the high priest. And in fact, he's greater than all the Levitical priests. He says he's greater than Abraham and that Jesus' ministry is greater than the ministry of the tabernacle. Furthermore, that Jesus' sacrifice is greater than all the sacrifices ever given at the altar under the Old Testament. This is how great Jesus is. That's why we proclaim him. That's why we call him Savior. That's why we acknowledge one greater than Solomon is here. My appeal to you is to see Jesus, who he is. If you're visiting here and you've not yet studied the Bible, I want to urge you to speak to someone today and say, I want to see the greatness of Jesus. If you're studying the Bible, and I know things can get tough and there's stumbling blocks and hardships, I want to encourage you and urge you to get back in there and study the word and be amazed at Jesus and show some eagerness and tenacity like the Queen of Sheba did in the presence of Solomon. And if you are a disciple today, and you're one of those people who can't spend 5 minutes reading your Bible, I appeal to you to repent today. The reason why Jesus told the teachers of the law and the Pharisees about the coming judgment is not to condemn them, but to give them an opportunity to change. He said, listen, something down the road is coming to you, but you're still alive and you can still change. Wherever you've been at in the past week or month, the good news is that Jesus is still here in our presence. He still wants to have a deeper relationship with you. And I urge you to keep reading your word, keep getting into the word, and get to a place where you, like the Queen of Sheba, were just overwhelmed with the teachings of Jesus, and we proclaim him as Lord and Messiah. Amen.